So we've been talking about Jonah, and we've been seeing that that is a reality that's also in the New Testament, the things that that is pertaining to. And we saw that Paul was talking to Timothy about it, and it's not just Timothy, like Timothy's got a problem or something. Well, he does, but it's a universal problem, and that is not understanding the true message and the true mission that God has given to us in relationship to Christ and Him crucified. And so it's preserved forever in the Bible for all of us to pick up on. Anyway, so we looked at some of the things where Paul talked about being the prisoner of the Lord and why, and what was the issues of his heart, and that was that he did it for Israel, for others, and he made this statement, for the which cause I also suffer these things, talking about being in chains. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And that shame factor is so huge that, let me remind you that we also looked at the scripture that talked about that he laid this stumbling stone in Zion. In Zion. Meaning that it can become or will become a stumbling stone to anybody, even if they deeply know the Lord or have a deep relationship with Him, if they do not understand that our whole salvation, everything that we have as Christians, all came through Him suffering and dying, and Paul learned of what that was and described it as the power and the wisdom of God. The power and the wisdom of God. Meaning that human power and force and guns and tanks and bombs and all this stuff is not God's power and it's not true power. The exact opposite of that would be to lay down your life for the people that are trying to kill you or something like that, which is exactly what Jesus did, laid down his life for the people that were not trying to kill him, but did kill him. And one of the things that I've seen over the years since the Lord has really shown me this is a real disconnect in the hearts and minds of the basic Christian, or almost all Christians, is that they understand the cross and that they understand that Jesus died for them so they wouldn't have to die. But they can't see that's ongoing, that that's the way that God operates, and therefore that's the way He wants us to operate. And it doesn't take much, like the Book of Romans, to awaken you to that, but it's more than the Book of Romans. And, of course, 1 Peter is all about that, but so is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And so anyway, we see that Timothy represents the average Christian that loves God, that's truly born again. That's truly born again. God bless you. But is not really aware that this death and that Jesus died and all the suffering that he went through, that is in God's mind the highest. And when it talks about in Philippians, that being the case for Jesus, who didn't wrestle with God to be equal with God, but became you know, a human, and then as a human a servant, and then as a servant a criminal, and then he died, became obedient unto death, that that it follows up with, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, because he's the only one that truly, because someone, you know, might, you know, usually won't die for someone else, but they might die for a good man, but not for their enemies. That was unheard of almost, and it still is in a lot of ways. And so there is an awakening that has to happen. And, you know, we can remain blind to it, but we will find out that in the end, Jesus' nature brings that about, and his religion doesn't. Or may I say our religion. Paul called it the Jews' religion when he was talking to the Jewish forms. But I think we can call it the Christian's religion, that we don't understand the nature of the person, and we don't function by the nature of the person, which is a slaughtered lamb, you know. And so you find in Paul, this is my prayer, this is my desire, this is what I want. I want to be made conformable to his death. I want to fellowship in his sufferings. And the average Christian would take that as, well, I want to be persecuted. And in America, that would mean that somebody maybe at work makes fun of you because you're a Christian, you know. You believe in Jesus? Well, that's like believing in the Easter Bunny, you know. And they go, ha, ha, ha. And you go, I'll take this, Lord. I want to fellowship in your Easter Bunny sufferings, you know. I mean, it's about like that, though. I mean, it really is. It's about like that. That's the persecution. Oh, I'll stay in this job for you and the money that I get, you know. And it's just all this. We have so many mixed motives. We do. We have mixed motives. And we all do, honestly. We all have that. I'm sure to some degree Paul had that. But the point is, Paul said, I have not yet attained, but I press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ. And so this is the things that we've been going over. And when Paul talks about him suffering those things, he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of this. And in Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And all of this word, it's used all the time in the New Testament. It's about, always about something in relationship to Jesus that we would be ashamed, you know, it would make us look bad or make us, you know, feel like an outsider. And what I mean by an outsider is not an outsider to the world, but to Christians who believe that it's all about God blessing us and healing us and making us happy, and that he would fight the devils that would try to come against us, and that everything is meant to be, I stand here and let Jesus fight off everything and do everything to comfort me and make me happy and stuff, instead of us saying, I will be with you in your sufferings. I will be with you in whatever you go through, instead of you having to bow down to me. You already did that on the cross. Now I want to, you know, I want to give back. I don't want to just my whole life be, it was selfish before I came to you, and now I'm Christian selfish. Well, what I just described was Christian selfish. You bless me, you help me, you do this for me, give me the job of my dreams, give me the car of my dreams, give me the husband or wife of my dreams, you know. And God's saying, those are all nightmares. those are not true dreams. Here's my dream for you, that you would be in my image, that you would be willing to go through some things for others that maybe are mean to you or don't like you or, you know. I mean, Jesus is the one who said, love your enemies, you know. And we say, I mentioned some time back about, you know, being over the daycare and being over the children, the infants during the church service, and watching mothers come in and take their own child, go, oh, but another child crying, they go, and we think, well, that's only human. Well, that's it. That's only human. It's not Christ. And Jesus said, if you love your own, what more do you do than the heathen, than the unsaved people? That's what they do too. I love my family. I love my this. I love my that. I'll stand up for that. I'll blow off, you know, I'll blow off your family. I'll blow off God's family, but I love my family. You know what I mean? Something like that. All this stuff. And we think we mark it down as holy, and we just see it all as because it suits us. You know, well, you know, I want that girl as my girlfriend, so I will go into a death so I can have her. Why don't you go into a death so that you don't have her and see what happens? Can God show up? But we go, well, I don't want that kind of death. That's not, is that what this is about? I'm ashamed of y'all. But it is. It's the Word of God. And it's more than the Word of God. It is the gospel. And it's more than the Word of God. It is the logos of God. It is the logic of God. It is how God thinks. Now, I want you to think for a minute about all of our wants and desires and living on this earth and thinking based on this earth and all of this kind of stuff. And then standing before God, and we find out that there was another mind. He said, let this mind be in you. What did 1 Peter say? He says, arm yourself with this mind. And it's this description that we're talking about. And we stand there and we go, you know, we always think we're going to stand there alone. Well, maybe we are, but if there's an angel there, we'll go, you know, this is different than I thought it was going to be, you know, as you're standing before God, you know. And you know, you hear the Father and you go, and then Jesus speaks, Then the Holy Spirit speaks, you know, while we're standing there, we go, this is not what I was taught Christianity was, you know. And it's reversed. We're looking at what God's doing in a different light. You know, everything has to be God blessing us, and if something bad happens, that's the devil. So what if God wanted you to go through some sufferings? What if he wanted you to fellowship with him in his sufferings? And then you call that the devil. Who would you be calling the devil? God. And say, well, he forgives, so he'll forgive me. I'm like, see that? See, everything about us is, well, you know, take care of me. Go out of your way to make sure that nothing bad happens to me, whatever. And he's doing more for us every day than what we could ever imagine. He is. He's doing more for us every day. But he would like for his son to be formed in us, who came to this earth and died for the will of the Father, for the plan of God, and said, you know, has this quote unquote choice. He's in the garden and he says, you know, I have a commandment that I can lay down my life or I can take it again. God gave me free will. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. Not my will. Well, that's the logic of God right there. not me. I'm gonna choose your mind, Father. Okay. So Jesus is the supreme example of that, but he is also the liver of that, the one who lives that in each and every one of us. Unless we have so built our foundation and our citadel on something other than the image of Christ, the foundation of the cross, the reality of him wanting to live this way in us, through us, toward others, toward our enemies, and glorify the Father through his own body. Because we say, well, this is my body. God gave it to me. Well, we're his body. We're his body. And he's the one supposed to be living in his body. But we're just a bunch of Christians. We're just a bunch of Christians trying to be good, and trying to get more blessings, and trying to, you know, all these things are working. And this is the kind of thing that Paul is trying to deal with Timothy about. Because he's ashamed of a gospel that would accept sufferings and not call it the devil, but would accept them in such a manner that Christ could live through us in that. I mean, anybody can live through blessings. You know what I mean? I mean, blessings come. We go, Jesus, I don't need you for this. I can handle this. Right? Yeah, I can handle this. Well, we need him in all things. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ, concerning you, in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so there is this, and this, of course, this class is on Jonah. But what we're seeing and why we're getting into these other areas is that we need to see that Jonah's situation was not just a man who was not committed or, you know, whatever, you know, sort of a half-hearted believer or something like that, but a man that's just like us when we're actually given a situation where Christ could come out of us and we just rebel against all of it and, you know, because we only see it in one way. We've got blinders on. We see it in one way, and that is that this is bad. And the Lord shared something really, really amazing with me the other day, and I haven't fully followed it out in relationship to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's a reason why we're so confused about everything is because we continually eat off of that tree and the evil, I'll just say it like this. Originally, good, this before the fall, before Adam and Eve, originally, good or evil didn't matter because we would handle it all by Christ. See, God, good and evil was around before man was created, and then God created it, and then he put a tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. So it was in there before they even, you know, knew about it, till God pointed it out. And it was there whereby instead of this bad thing happening to me, I will lay down my life and glorify the Father. Instead of this good thing happening to me, this is the hand of my Father, and we are in this spirit together. And so when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were open to good and evil instead of all things being of God if you're in that right spirit and you handle it. And that's why good and evil was no big deal to God, because he handled it all by the tree of life. And the logic of the wisdom of God, the logic of God. That's how he handled it. And so, you know, so now we see the difference and we go, oh, well, this is, you know, now there's something bad over here and now there's something good over here. And he said, don't eat of it. Don't eat of, we say, he said, don't eat of the evil. Don't eat of the evil. Don't you do it. Because that's the way we live our Christianity. Don't eat of the evil. Only eat the good. He said don't eat anything off of that tree. Don't eat it because you'll see a difference and then it'll change your approach. And you'll start going, well, and that's what they did. Oh, get fig leaves and cover up. God says, where are you? In the garden. He knew right where they were. Well, we went and hid ourselves because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree? Because now you see good and evil. Right? Anyway, I think there's something to that. All right. And then we talked about, I mentioned what he said in Acts. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He was not, and we know this, but we only know it theologically. I am not a captive or prisoner of Rome. I am the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his view. See, no good and evil there, right? Look at it. That, picture that as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can see it clearly. There's no good and evil in that. This, it looks evil. It looks bad. Yeah, there's some suffering going, but I'm the servant of the Lord. I am the prisoner of the Lord. And you see him, you see Paul and Silas, you know, he didn't pray. I mean, they sang, but they didn't pray. They didn't say, God, get us out. God, get us out of this prison. Open the gates. We're your people. You've got to show that you're really God. He didn't do that. But he just, he broke it open and they just sat there. Chains came undone. They didn't get up and run out and go, there is a God. You know how I know? Because we were in evil and now we're in good. Wrong tree, buddy. You should never have eaten that thing. You know? And so, you look, instead they sit there and, you know, the jailer comes out and is about to kill himself because he knows they're going to kill him if he loses all these convicts. But Paul wasn't a convict. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they ended up leading him to the Lord. What looked like evil was actually good, but not necessarily for Paul and them. I mean, they might have had, you know, I got a feeling that maybe some of those chains and stuff they use are pretty rusty and, you know, it could have been rough on them like it was on Jesus when he went to the cross. It could have been rough, but there's a spirit. If you don't have that spirit yet, then no wonder it's like, well, I don't want this. This sounds horrible. This is the opposite of Christianity. This is the opposite. We're all supposed to be blessed and everything, and you're saying this? You're a heretic. I mean, I think someone calling me a heretic would be one of the nicer things some people have said about me, you know. I've got way worse than that. And you see, heretic, you can repeat some of the things I know they've said you can't repeat in public, especially to Christians. All right, so we talked about Romans 5, and it really gave us a completely different perspective of tribulation, didn't it? Remember? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. That's a completely different perspective than reading Romans like this. Well, I'm a Christian, and we glory in tribulation because we're supposed to. And everything, give thanks. We're supposed to. We're Christians, do that. No, that's not what he's talking about. I mean, if we don't get the mind of Christ, if we do not let the logic of God invade the darkened corners of our brain and begin to seep down into our spirit and begin to understand by the heart this life, this way that is Jesus, I am the way. He didn't say, well, God gave me some rules and God gave me a way that I'm supposed to be when I'm down here. He said, I am the way. And that's what he's supposed to be in us. But we're trying to be the way, or we're trying to get hold of the way. Oh, Lord, show me the way. Anybody ever prayed that? Oh, Lord, show me the way. He goes, well, I kind of did that when you got saved. What? I missed it. Did you say it? No, I didn't. It was my son, the one I put on the inside of you. And he's the truth. He's not just the truth teller or truth giver. And if you're missing it, it's because you don't realize he's the life. He's the life. He is the life. And so as long as we're going by our first birth, which said, you know, I don't want to cry. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want anybody to be mean to me. I don't want, you know, I want my life to be all this kind of stuff. That's our first birth existence. That's totally what we were at our first birth. We lived that all the way up till we met Jesus. But then we got new birth. And that new birth was a new life, right? We said, I got new life. Yeah, it's another person. And he's got it all in him. So he made us his body so that he could live through us. But we go, we're the body of Christ. We look out on the congregation and say, we're the body of Christ. Well, no, no. We're not, if that's our view of it. The body of Christ is that which lets Christ live in them. Amen? You say, well, theologically, though. Okay. Yeah. But he's not going to ask you your theology when you stand before him. He's not going to go, okay. So let me hear your theology. This is what's important now. I want to hear your theology. Well, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day, he rose from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe in the... I'm trying to remember all of that. The Methodists even had in there... I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And I'm going... Yeah. I've been a Methodist all my life, and now I'm saved, and I think that's wrong. But anyway, We think that all these things that we've learned, all these things we've studied, all these things that we thought were important are going to be so important to him. And he's going to go, look, I don't care about your theology. What life do you have? What life did you live by? Who was it? Was it you or him? Well, sometimes it was me and sometimes it was him. You sure? Maybe it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it was you good. Maybe a lot of that was you good. Maybe you got in a situation, you said, well, Jesus would do this. You know, you'd look at your wristband and say, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not slap you in the face right now. So I did this right. I'm a special one. You know, he's going, you're not. You're not. You missed the boat. You don't understand. You don't understand. It's got to be his life, and you don't understand the reason why it's got to be his life is because he can live this and we can't. And you don't understand that there's a certain logic, a certain mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not to be, you know. And to live unto the Father. To live unto the Father by Christ. To live to the glory of the Father by not choosing yourself over others. But to honor him and to honor his mind and his heart and to be with him whether good or evil, because you don't live by that anymore. You live by this tree over here, and you quit trying to weigh the two over here, because it doesn't matter if you weigh good and evil, it's the same tree. You quit trying to weigh that. Well, I'm so confused, or I don't know, and I try, but, you know, because I know, you know, it's like Paul in Romans 7, I know what is good, but how to do it, I find not. Right? And you say, well, when is God going to tell me the secret? Well, he's not going to tell you the secret. He's already put the secret inside of you. But he does need to reveal his hidden wisdom, which is the logic of God. He does need to do that, and we need to see it. But you see, somebody can teach it. I can teach it. Somebody can teach it, and they can teach it, and they can teach it. And we can get all the elements, and it's just theology. It's just another category of theology. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the logic of God. And he'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means, you know, I'm going to be good. No, you're back on this tree over here. You know, it's not, if you could have a theological vacuum cleaner that could suck every thought out of God's head and transcribe it, it'd be called the Bible. And you don't get it. You know, you don't see this. You see whatever, you know what I mean? You see whatever, you know, your theology has taught you or whatever kind of thing. And so Paul's going, now we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, because he believed that suffering was in conjunction with Christ and him crucified. So there was patience, there was hope. There wasn't just, well, this is the theology and I should do this. No, I don't want you to do it, and I don't believe God wants you to just fake it. You know, well, if I'm going to fit in, I need to do this. Quit trying to fit in here. Amen? Fit in as a member of his body and let his life flood through every member, whatever you are, and you will be of the same heart and same spirit. But the truth is, it's already yours if you've got Jesus inside of you. It's just not already working fully in you like it should. Can I get an amen on that? If you say it again, I can get another little drink here of tea. I thought of a great line that I heard at Woodstock that would get you to speak louder, but I think I better not. And hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5. If you have this hope that Christ is going in that suffering, he's going to lay down his life and he's going to do it beautifully, even if there is pain, because Jesus went through pain and suffering. But the desire of the Father, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. The desire of what the Father wanted. I already quoted it, but Jesus said, the Father hath given me a commandment that I can lay down my life or take it again. I don't have to do this. You don't have to do it, you know? And I'm not even saying you're not born again if you don't. I believe you probably are. But is the point really that you're in such a right place that you know you're safe? Is that really what your heart is, you know? Or is it, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I just want what you want. At whatever cost, I'm with you. So, for when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. Saved from wrath through him, over and over, while we were enemies, reconciled. Every ounce of that is, we were enemies, we were messed up, we were this and that. And he laid down his own life. And what did 1 Peter say? He did this as an example to us, that we should walk in these same steps. He's talking about the cross, it's clear. That we should walk in these same steps. Well, again, you can't walk in that unless it's his life. But if we don't even know that, if we haven't really heard, then our default first birth ways will always kick in. They will always kick in. We'll always choose ourselves. We'll always look at evil as of the devil and the good side of that same tree that is rejected totally. All the good on that tree is rejected as deeply as the evil. So have you ever said, well, I'm just trying so hard and I just keep messing up. I'm just, you know, it's like, I got more evil than good. Well, even if you got more good than evil, it's the wrong tree. Even if you had much more good than evil, it's the wrong tree. Even if you had nothing but one little piece of fruit that was evil, and all the rest is blooming good, it's the wrong tree and everything on it. So quit whining and worrying about, you know, about the quantity of one part or the other. And I remember when I came to that and I said, you know what? This thing is singular. I remember those were the words that came to me. This is singular. I thought it was all these doctrines and all these things and you had to do all this stuff and there's all this stuff. And I went, there's just one thing that thou desire. And that is that Jesus wants to live in us. His life, his spirit, and the greatest proof that it would be his life and his spirit is that if when we get in certain circumstances where we've been misjudged or we've been falsely accused or we've been, and we don't have to open our mouth and justify ourselves, and we just bear it and say, Lord, I bear this and I pray in some way, in some manner by your spirit, since it's really you bearing it in me, that it redounds back to that person that they could be, you know, helped in some way. So, saved from wrath through him. How about that? Gosh, I'm still in just introducing what I talked about last week. It's better this week, isn't it? It's kind of better this week. At least I'm enjoying it. All right. So we looked at Romans 9:33, and it says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the issue didn't say, if you stumble at the great stumbling stone, you won't be saved. It is, the issue is, will you be ashamed? Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be saved. No. Ashamed. Okay. So that's kind of a proof, one of those proofs that, you know, if you are falsely accused and people are writing up all this stuff about you and, you know, saying you're all this kind of stuff and everything, if you're ashamed of, if you're, you know, and particularly if you didn't do all that stuff, but if you're just with the Lord, I'm going to be with the Lord in this. This is my prison cell. And I may never be able to reach beyond these walls. And maybe I can reach and touch another prisoner next door to me or something, maybe. Or the guard. That's my world. I will be with him. I will be with you, Lord. And I will stay in that spirit, because even if I don't reach those, the guards and the person, the captive next to me, I can be with you in your mind and in your heart and in your wisdom. And I can bear it without every day waking up and going, why am I in this mess? Why am I in this jail cell? Why am I in this dark dungeon? Why is this happening? We can just be with him. We can just be with him. See, that's the tree of life. That is a true departure from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you see that? It truly is. It is a true departure to be able to do that. And I really believe in the Garden of Eden, had they not eaten of that, they would have learned God's logic. They would have learned his wisdom. They would have learned his way. They would have learned his nature. And they would have grown up in him in all things, who is the head of the body. Amen? But they got off. But it didn't matter if they got into good and evil with God, because God's nature was such, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life was such, that he would lay down his life for them anyway, under any circumstances, whether they ate of it or not, or whether they messed up over here somehow, or da-da-da-da. That's him. He's just going to be that way. He's going to be selfless to the core. I guess I'm ready to start class. Some of you all are going, yay, that was a little much. Let's get into some carnal stuff. Just kidding. I do need another drink. Okay, Romans 1, let's see. Verse 15 and 16. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And remember, that Rome is what? The head of the beast. I'm ready to go to the head of the beast. What do you think is going to be the result of being sent to the head of the beast? You'll lose your head? Is that what you're saying? Well, then remember, this is the Jonah class. And Jonah was sent to the head of the beast of his day. Yes. Remember that. It's the same thing. The head at that time was Assyria. And the same thing could have happened. All right. So, to you that are at Rome, verse 16, for I am not ashamed. Does he have to keep saying that? But he's not, if he's going to be with the Lord, he's not, if he understands the logic of God, he's not going to be ashamed. He will be with the Lord. He will pray crazy prayers like Paul did, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. We say, I want to know him in his death and then in his resurrection. But he started with the resurrection and gave it all up. The man's either a lunatic or he really knows Jesus, okay? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the logic that God uses concerning suffering. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, meaning the ones who don't deserve it. Also to the Greek. It's whosoever will now. God gave you free will. Guess what you're supposed to do with it? Whosoever will is supposed to choose this way, this Jesus, this slaughtered lamb upon the throne that will forever be a slaughtered lamb upon the throne. Okay? So in Luke 23, well, Luke chapter 2, verse 34 says this, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword will pierce through your own soul, talking to Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So, Jesus, when he started speaking about Jonah, they said, give us a sign. And he said, I'm not going to give you any sign at all except the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. He didn't say, I'll give you the sign of Jonah. Just talking to him and said, y'all don't know this, but I was there in heaven after this whole thing with Nineveh. And he started doing really good later. He doesn't say that. He doesn't go there. He says, when he was swallowed up, taken down deep into the depths, when the seaweed covered you, when you there was no way out. But remember his words when he was there. Remember his words when he was there. That's the sign I'll give to you. That's what Jesus said. So here's this other sign when Jesus was born, Jesus said, or the scripture says, this will be a sign that shall be spoken against because they're ashamed. Okay. But that it's not just that. It says this child is destined for the fall and rising of many. The fall, go down into the belly of the whale, and then let the whales vomit you up on the shore. And go do what God wants you to do now. You say, can I change clothes first? This acid is eating up my clothes. So Jonah was a picture of that sign also. It is, and Jesus said that of Jonah. He's a sign, the sign of the Son of Man. 3 days and three nights. It is a sign of suffering instead of the promise of victory. So I wrote down, it starts not with a rising, but death is first and then resurrection. It's a fall and it's spoken against. And then the sword will pierce through your soul. Well, that's a glory to God right there. It's going to pierce through your soul. It's not going to pierce through you and kill you. It's going to put your soul in a place where it's not in charge. First Peter talked majorly about that. That your soul isn't, you know, that, and First Peter's words were that your soul needs to be saved. He spoke to people who already knew the Lord. Your soul is the one that's going, I got to save me. Oh, I got to get out of this. Oh, this is painful. I don't want this. I need, Lord, do something. You know, go kill the bad people. And I'll live happily ever after. And I'll stand up in church and say, the bad people were persecuting me. But don't worry, I prayed and God wiped them all out. And everybody goes, yeah, and Jesus is Lord, yeah. And he's up there going, phew, they missed that. They totally missed my point. What time is it? Well, I that part right there actually was something new that I didn't share last week. So I do want to go ahead and close. I think we're all right. But one of the things I'm going to do, and I think I've told y'all this before, though, is that, you know, I'm drawing from notes that I've had for years, and I will be giving a general understanding of Jonah and repeating that a lot throughout this, okay? So just, when you hear it, don't go, well, that's stupid. You already told me that. Why don't you tell me something new? Just go, okay, yes, Lord. I'm practicing your logic with Randy, who is very annoying. But he's right, so we're going to go with you. Amen. All right, guys. Love you. Hallelujah. Don't you just love Jesus? Hallelujah. Not you, Kelly. You always love Jesus. Why don't we pray? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your Son. And we thank you that you didn't just give us salvation. You gave us a Savior, but you didn't just give us a Savior. You gave us a crucified lamb, a slaughtered lamb, as the insignia of all that you are and all that your power is and all that your wisdom is pertaining to. Help us not just to read the Bible in terms of you gave us salvation, meaning you just saved me because, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but you're so good, you saved me. When in reality, you saved me and all of us to bring us into your heart and into your ways and into your mind. To be swallowed up of the whale, to be swallowed up of this, so that we are totally overshadowed and consumed. And may it bring much glory to you, Father, through Christ, your Son, in us. And may the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that precious dove, be given free course by us to speak what he wants to, and we would find a way through your nature, Jesus, to say, not my will, but thine be done, Father. And so, Father, we stand together, and Lord, we know that there are some that have been down this road a while, and there are some that it's new, and there's some that don't get it yet. But you said, till we all come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, not the fullness of salvation. But the measure, the thing you measure by, and the stature that you measure by, and the fullness that you measure by, which is Christ, till he is formed in us, and we give back to you, Lord, not hide what we got in the ground and then give back to you that exactly what you gave us, but that we brought forth more fruit, more for you of your Son, and that you are pleased and blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.